Well, hello, Bill Burns.
Well, the French is that. How are you, young thing?
You know what? I am doing fantastic. After your lecture, after your lecture Sunday, I was like, oh my gosh, I need more of Bill Burns.
That's lovely. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. It's always great to know when you help somebody you love.
So a listener, Sarah, was at your lecture Saturday, and she came up to me afterwards and said she enjoys our podcast. So hi, Sarah.
Sarah?
Yes. I believe her name is Sarah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
So let's talk about what you discussed at the lecture, which was amazing, how not to be defensive or take people that are dealing with defensive people.
Well, I think all of us are defensive to some degree, to be honest. I mean, I know I certainly have been in my life.
Yeah, me too.
And I think it's because, you know, we're raised to not believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we grow up with a kind of insecurity complex or a superiority complex fueled by anger. And I think that means that whenever we start out working with somebody else, the interface initially is insecurity against insecurity, and that's pretty scary.
Very much.
So if you go into a retail outlet or something of that nature, and you're not careful the way you present it, they can take offense right away, particularly if there's a problem. Like, my coffee drink isn't right. What's wrong with it? Well, I don't know, but it doesn't taste right. Well, it's you. And so we start, you know, our day out with, I wonder what's going to go wrong today. I wonder if I'll be able to deal with it. What happens if so-and-so says such and such, you know what I mean? We really start out afraid. Mm-hmm. And we're always looking to protect our image, which if our image resembles our view of ourselves, is probably horrible to begin with.
Yeah.
And so we go through our day trying to avoid conflict or trying to create it if you're a jerk. And there's no consensus in our day. It's all winning or losing.
Yeah.
That makes it a very hard life. And I know some people go through life with a pretty consistent schedule, very consistent interactions and so on. But even within that kind of sort of protected or limited environment, we still run across the coworker that looks at you the wrong way or says something to which you take offense, mm-hmm. or you say something and they take offense and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of this basic insecurity and fear in yourself. Now, are there true jerks out there? Absolutely. Have we met any? Oh, I'll bet our leaders would fill us in on that one. No question they're jerks. And it's hard when you run into a jerk to realize they're really scared.
Yeah.
You know, they're the kind of scared people that have to strike first to prevent you from winning.
Hmm.
Well, isn't that fun?
Yeah. Not, yeah.
No, you know, I mean, it's horrible.
It is.
And
I've been in many situations like that, and you're like, oh.
Right. And some of them aren't as egregious as others, but they're all uncomfortable. And every time we get into one of those, we walk away wondering, did we win? Did we lose? Oh, I don't think I could. I could have said this. I could have said that. And it throws us off base, and it undermines the confidence we have in other areas of our life as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when some people do that, for me, it's like, wait, did they mean to dog me out? Or are they mean, you know, so I'm going through all of these things in my head. And by that time, they've moved on. And then I'm like, oh, I should have said this. But
right.
I'm just trying to figure out, did they mean that?
Absolutely. And if you ask them the wrong way, then it's going to start a fight.
Yeah.
Why did you say, oh, my God. Why did you call me? Why did you do? So we have to have a different approach to the sea of insecurity and fear around us. And to be honest with you, because most people live a life of victimhood, where they have to blame somebody else for what's going on in their life, where they always have to accuse somebody or it's somebody else's fault or whatever.
Yes.
The only way to avoid all of this is for you to be the bigger person. The only way really to avoid all this is to say, all right, they're afraid. They don't look it. They look mean. They look aggressive. They look hostile. They give me the finger, whatever. And the only way really to cope with this is to say, I have a problem and I need your help.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Or to say, you know, this is the way I'm feeling, and I'm sure that's not how you want me to feel. Could you explain to me why you seem hostile or why you feel upset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's easy to do, but I mean to say, but in the doing of it, it's also recognizing yourself in that situation. So if, you know, you're sitting across from the table from your boss or whomever, you have to take yourself out of, I'm assuming you have to take yourself out and rise above that in order not to feel whatever negative feelings you have at that time.
Well, you have to move beyond your fear, certainly.
Yeah. Which is courage.
It is courage. But it doesn't have to be horrible. You can focus on, well, this can't get any worse. So let me find out what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This situation really sucks, so it can't get any worse.
No. Well, you say to somebody that looks like they just swallowed a cockroach, can I help? You know, you look upset. I'm wondering, is there any way I could help?
Yeah. 5 years ago, you told me to use that and with a coworker, and I did. And you said, you know, if you use that, you guys will probably be best friends. And she will look at you as, you know, one of your, as a confidant. And it worked out exactly like that.
Right. It's just, but it's being willing to say that to yourself.
Yeah.
That's the hard part, is to say, I need to realize this person is in some kind of fear. Yeah. How can I approach them in a way that relaxes them?
Well, Bill, that brings up another example that happened around the 4th of July. NPR tweeted out the Declaration of Independence, and some people got really, really angry about it, thinking that they were criticizing the President of the United States. And
Why did they tweet the Bill of Rights?
Yes.
How is that anything to do with the president who can't read? I mean,
well, like some of the people read it when the declaration, they were talking about, you know, a tyrant and this and that. And so some people caught it in the middle. But what was really, truly amazing is they got in contact with this one guy who was furious about the tweets. And he actually did an interview with them, and he goes, you know what? I was really wrong, and I apologize. And, you know, we are in the state of reaction now of, this is wrong. Why is NPR tweeting out this, you know, about our president? They just assumed, because they were reading what other people of like minds were thinking. And the guy was so very cool. He was like, I will never do that again.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my goodness, this is pretty amazing. But not a lot of people are as open to that. You know,
is no openness to fear. Mm-hmm. Fear closes every door. That's why if you're going to get along with somebody, or diffuse a fearful situation, you have to get them past their fear as it relates to you. And so that's why questions such as why? Why did you do that? What were you thinking? Are inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you say, you know, I know that you didn't set out to make me feel this way, but when you said this, it really did. I was wondering if you could share with me what you meant so, you know, so I know how to react. And they're going to look at you in shock. And even if they did mean what you thought they meant, they aren't going to admit it now. And in not admitting it now, they get in touch with their own foolishness. Now, is it perfect panacea? You always got jerks that can't understand anything. But does it work most of the time with most people? Absolutely. Putting yourself on their side is critical. You walk into a store. You hear the customer giving the sales clerk a hard time. So then you're next. How lucky are you?
It's going to be a brilliant day, right?
Right. So you walk up, and what do you say? I don't like... No. You walk up and you say, I don't know how you deal with those fools. How do you do it? I could not put up with somebody like that. And all of a sudden, you're dealing with a very different person in front of you.
Yeah.
Who says, oh, my God, I know. What are we trained for? They try not to take it personally. How can I help you? You say, well, you know, I bought this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, oh, all right, yeah, sure, let's take care of that.
Well, there are some situations where the person is so unwilling that maybe you have to give up. When do you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, cool. I mean,
I have looked at somebody who's been unwilling to cooperate and have said, oh, I guess I was right. So what do you mean? You really are an asshole. Bye. And you know, I've even had them come after me and say, well, why would you say that?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, because I stood there and I tried to be as helpful and cooperative with you as possible, and all you did was rant. I'm sorry.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
does it always work that way? Of course not. Nothing always works every time.
Yeah.
But does it work most of the time? How comfortable a job do you think being a collections person for a collections agency is?
Oh, my God. One of the worst, right?
So I went on little commercial, creditkarma.com, anyway, and I checked one of the credit reporting agencies, and there was a derogatory comment, not Billy Ritter, but there was a derogatory comment from some medical place in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So she came on the phone, and I said, here's the deal, I don't even remember them. And she said, well, I can look it up. I said, you know, I'd appreciate it because I don't want to dodge the bill. But on the other hand, and then she said, well, we sent three notices. I said, well, I had a jerk working for me at the time, which I did. And I said, it's entirely possible you just threw them out. But I said, I'm a little surprised because Medicare and my supplementary usually pay everything.
Mm-hmm.
She came back on and she said, you know, Mr. Burns, I checked it out. We did try to get them to pay. They didn't recognize your name.
Oh.
So because we couldn't collect from Medicare, we couldn't collect from the secondary. And that's probably how all this got messed up.
Oh, man.
And I said, well, what can we do? She said, I will send them a notice telling them to take it off.
Oh, cool.
Very sorry. So I could have gone on there furious.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been annoyed. We could be in dispute headed for court. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if we go in knowing the other person, if not coming from fear, can easily be triggered for fear, we approach them in a different way of understanding of, do you know what I mean? Say,
yes.
Hey, we're in this together. Can we work this out? And rarely do I see that it doesn't. I have to remember that short-term relief will always bring long-term pain.
Yes.
I mean, I always think, how do you assholes even get dressed alone in the morning? and think what a relief it would be to say that.
Yeah, I know.
And then I have to say, well, what do you want to accomplish here?
Right, exactly.
Do you want to make another enemy or do you want to get this solved? And then I stop and I say, it's probably not even their fault.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was Medicare's fault.
Yeah. But we get locked up in our brain a lot of, you know, creating the scenarios of what's going to happen that we just go down the rabbit hole. And it...
And sit there and write out what your head is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the end of running it, you'll realize how silly it is.
Yeah.
And then just calls and you'll find that you're very relaxed.
Yeah.
I have found that the ancient brain, which goes all the way back to Neanderthal, which, by the way, has this acting as well. Is always there looking for adrenaline, and adrenaline is always created by conflict.
Yeah.
So if we stop for a minute and write down what it's trying to tell us, we'll realize that we're way off base.
Yeah.
At that point, we are where our feet are, and that brain has no power. And at that moment, we can take a reasonable response.
Yeah.
But never does reaction win anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I realize that we're both afraid. But I realize if we're going to get anywhere, one of us has to take the high road.
Yeah. Let's take the high road, Bill.
Right. And the high road is... Oh, you poor thing. Let me see if I can make your day better. I don't want to upset you, but you're slippage now. No. How can I make your day better? And then think, if you think of it in that term, you'll be amazed. All the right words come to mind.
It does. And it makes your life easier. And, you know, you go about your day not thinking about.
Right. And once you've resolved it, you're not thinking about it, as you say, all day.
Yeah.
The one most important part of any conflict is right this minute. The two most dangerous areas are waiting for it to come and rehashing it after.
Oh, I know. I get wrapped up in the rehashing it afterwards because I try to think of, like, everything. Okay, well, why did it happen? Well, you know, what am I learning? What did I not do? And then I could just go down the list of all of these things. And then it's like,
you brought up a wonderful one. And I think we can benefit from this. After the event, we can sit down and say, what am I learning from this? Because spirituality is never unfair. We never go through anything from which we shouldn't be learning.
Mm-hmm.
We want to blame somebody else, we're going to miss the learning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You also have to start that by reaching out to the other person.
Yes. No victims, but victors. We're victors, right?
Well, true, but it's not even about winning. It's about helping the other person work with you.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you're working with a real jerk or if you're dealing with somebody totally dishonest, the only one that's going to lose is them.
Yes.
See, we think that the more controlled you are, the more powerful you are.
That's what I thought.
And I say to somebody, all right, well, walk into your living room. What's the strongest thing in the living room that you can see besides you? And like most people, it'll be the coffee table or the desk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if that's the strongest thing in the room, here's a hammer. Try it on the desk and on the couch. And you tell me which is stronger. And, of course, the couch works every time because it's flexible.
Mm.
It's not rigid. It's not tense. And by relaxing the other person, we can win.
Yeah.
Without making the other person lose.
You once said to me years ago, you were like, Laferne, you know, when you're trying to control everything, you seem like a real bitch.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah.
And then all you're trying to be is efficient.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I need to stop that.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit easier.
Because we have to remember the world is not our enemy, even though we think it is.
Yep. Not ours.
And people always want to blame somebody.
Mm-hmm. Look within first.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody's, I don't know what the news story was, but it was somebody's son got killed or something. And they want to sue somebody that isn't even connected.
Oh, wow.
Because they think they ought to be nice and pay for it. Because the jury said, no, this person isn't responsible. So now they're trying to sue the company he works for. Are you kidding me?
Is that grief?
It's manipulation and selfishness is what it is. Blaming other people is not facing your own thing. Like there were three kids robbing a man, and he shot one of them in the process. So the kid he shot died. The kid's mother said they were only robbing him. He shouldn't have pulled a gun. Now the court, being equally as stupid, put him in jail for a year for shooting whomever. But you know, we can't take on the whole court system in half an hour.
Yeah.
But
that's tough, though. That's really tough.
And all that comes out of not being willing to take responsibility for ourselves.
Right, but more and more, I think people are doing that now. I think there's an opening. I think there is more of an opening. I think there's more of a revealing of what's really happening. Nobody can hide their shit anymore. And now it's just out there. So people are saying, okay, well, this happened. Here are the facts. And this is how we're going to proceed.
I hope, because that would make life a lot easier for all of us.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say about this.
Yes, me too. Definitely get in touch with us. Email us. You can log on to billburns.org or laferncusack.com and get podcasts, more podcasts on iTunes and also Google Play. We're on there. Wow. Yay! I know. So excited.
That's fabulous. Which is so amazing. Well, I hope you've all enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. Thanks for joining us on our show. See you next week.
Because after all, it is us.